The seed is the word of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
The word of God. The actual phrase written down in St. Luke's Gospel is ha logos tou theou. These words stir our imagination to the heights, beginning in Genesis and the Psalms, and then rising to a blinding brilliance in the prologue of St. John's Gospel. In the beginning was the Word, logos. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. These words point back to an ancient tradition whose high mountain peaks are seen in Psalm 33. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. Psalm 33, 3 through 9. Shall we call this awesome display words of power? Our poor words stumble and fall before this majesty. What can we call it? That such concepts were active in the minds of the disciples is certain. Who then is this? They ask each other in wild surmise. Quote, and they feared exceedingly and said to one another, who can this be? Even the wind and sea obey him. Mark 4:41. We might well reply, let all the earth fear the Lord. For here are words of undoubted power. Did they remember all this when the risen Christ turned to them and said, quote, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. John 20:21-23. Who could doubt it? Who, upon receiving the Holy Spirit, could fail to understand that Jesus was founding the imperishable church, implanting the sacraments within the sacred persons of the apostles with words of power? In our earliest record after Eden of divine life touching a human, we read, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. Notice that it does not say, the Lord came to Abram, but rather, the word of the Lord came to Abram. We find something similar during the creation story. God does not create light in a single atomic action. Rather, in the beginning, God said, let there be light. God said. Our attention is directed to his word first, and then to light and creation. For a reason that is never explained, God suspends his creation of the beasts of the field and then directs Adam to complete it by naming the animals. He suspends creation and then directs Adam to complete it by naming. Quote, out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. This is no simple declarative act of speech. Our attention is directed to the power of Adam's word. Whatever he called it, that was its name. This is a speech act, words that engender a new reality. Throughout the Holy Scriptures, we find the formula, the word of God or the word of the Lord, designating a divine act, God's power alighting on his chosen vessel, followed by that greatest marvel, God himself speaking to his people. Quote, and the word of the Lord came to Isaiah, saying, go and tell Hezekiah, thus saith the Lord, the God of David, your father, I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. Surely I will add to your days 15 years. Isaiah 38, 3 through 5. Or, now Samuel did not know the Lord, nor was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. 1 Samuel 3, 7. In this latter passage, the tropes of meter and parallelism mark an equation. Divine knowledge equals the word of the Lord. They are one and the same. And this divine communion with God is called the word of the Lord. All of these things form the spiritual background for our gospel lesson this morning. Jesus describes the word of God as if it were living sparks of divine fire scattered throughout our life world, which he calls seed. Should our lives fill with distraction and unworthy debris, then the sparks dim down and become cold. Yet should we empty our lives of debris and practice daily mindfulness, then we too would experience that special communion with God known by the prophets, which is clarity of God's word and will, God's speaking. He calls everyone whom he has made. But we must attend to his word in a state of readiness. What is that signature phrase of God's? Quote, their heart was not right. They were not steadfast, unquote. Psalm 78, 37 through 38. When Jesus enunciates these principles in his parable of the sower, he does not tell us anything we do not already know. When we stray, we separate ourselves from God, and by that fact, invite demons in. Do you see, not only does nature abhor a vacuum, the spiritual world abhors a vacuum as well. As soon as God departs, demons flood in. Maybe they won't notice me. We whistle past the graveyard. When we live superficial lives, flitting from one thing to the next, we ignore the Holy Spirit and the angels of God, never becoming mindful and rooted. When we choose for our carnal desires, we choose the world, the flesh, and the devil over God, and his word is never received. Jesus says it this way, those by the wayside who have strayed are the ones who hear, then the devil comes and takes away the word. Superficial lives. The ones on the rock have no root. In time of temptation, fall away. The ones are choked with cares, riches, and the pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. Or, as John the theologian would write later, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. You see, the intimacy with God, known by the prophets, awaits each one of us. His word is scattered through the world. It is that magic which causes each creative thing to stir and shine. Moses was attentive to it in the Midian wilderness, beholding its brilliant fire in the night, and he removed his sandals. Jesus marks the high point of this passage in Luke with the sentence, "The seed is the word of God." These words unlock the mystery for the disciples. Two words from God. We say words, like the 10 words. Word of God and seed. Jesus draws our attention to the latter with repetition. A seed sower went out to sow his seed, and he sowed his seed. My more literal translation sounds like this in the original Greek. Speron tu, spere, ton, sporon. The repetition of one word in three forms summons our attention upon the single word, sporos, seed. The Greek word for seed, spermatikos, was a rich one in classical antiquity, the Judeo-Hellenic thought world for centuries held that the logos spermatikos, literally the seminal word or seed of reason, lay at the heart of all moving sentient beings. Certainly it formed the kernel of St. Justin Martyr's writings, early second century. It was this spark which was the crucial difference between sentient life and insensate lifelessness. The divine seed was understood to be our share in the holy fire. And we should note that in first century Greek, the words for sower of seed, sowing of seed, and the individual seed are virtually the same. That is, the sower and the seed are one. It's a dynamic process. The seed is constantly being scattered as God brings life into being. God is one with the seed. We participate in his holy fire by attending to it. As the logos, spermatikos, is the lively spark of rationality and of intellect, it is opposed to the generative seed of the body, the seed we can see. The ancients would have seen such material seed as being little different from the stuff that generates the dog or the goat. But the seed or spark underlying mind and soul is a spiritual reality. As St. John of Damascus would write 6 centuries later, the entrance of God into the human life world did not take place through generative seed, developing bit by bit as a human would, but rather through the indivisible unity of the divine seed, perfect, one. Quote, "And so after the Holy Virgin had given her assent, the Holy Ghost came upon her. The wisdom and power of the Most High, the Son of God, overshadowed her like a divine seed, and from her most chaste and pure blood compacted for himself a body animated by a rational and intellectual soul as first fruits of our clay. This was not generative seed, but by creation through the Holy Ghost. Overshadowed her like a divine seed." As Jesus articulated at the conclusion of the parable, the word of God and the logos spermatikos are two aspects of the same indivisible reality. This distinction between material seed and spiritual seed we find echoed throughout the Gospels. The spiritual seed, the Word of God, and the faithful people who receive it and reverence it, these constitute the kingdom of heaven. Again, whole, one, indivisible. Once you participate in the holy fire, you are part of this perfect unity. Repeatedly, Jesus and the apostles preach of a kingdom of God which is family. As the apostle Paul said on Mars Hill, one blood, offspring of God. As the medievals would say, who might claim noble blood when all descend from the same parents, Adam and Eve? And I hasten to add that geneticists of our own period hold that all human life on earth proceeds from one woman joined to one man. That's modern genetic theory. We are one blood. And then children of God by adoption, predestined to claim our royal lineage by living with our Heavenly Father in His kingdom. I say, all are predestined for heaven. Yet, in the mystery of our own sovereign power of will, God has granted the royal prerogative of choice to stray from the path or to hold to it. You see, we need do nothing. We're already on the path. We must choose to stray. We must make this active choice. Is it not true that every crown prince can ruin himself, can ruin his life and future? Exactly how do we succeed in securing our predestined happiness? Jesus announces the answer with unusual directness and clarity. No one misses this. But he answered and said to them, my mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it. Luke 8:21. And as if ensuring that we get it right, he repeats it a little later. But he said, more than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Luke 11:28. This is family. One blood and offspring of God, ours to have, unless we choose to reject it. Here is the kingdom of heaven. Quote, who hear the word of God and keep it. Jesus admonishes us to be mindful, for the word of God is all around us in its glory and shimmer. The seed is scattered everywhere. Everywhere life stirs and shines. Receive it, Jesus exhorts, and then keep it. Let nothing pollute this pristine goodness and purity. Do not become distracted. Do not let the debris of unwholesome curiosity snuff out the flame. Guard your thoughts. Here is an orthodox concept. Guard your thoughts. In the skete of St. Demetrios, overseen by his beatitude Metropolitan Jonah, the monks confess their thoughts, sometimes multiple times every day. Here is where the war takes place, our thoughts. and be ever mindful to his divine command. Hear the word of God and keep it. As he did the prophets, God made each of us to be holy vessels. He made us to be lamps that give light to the whole house. He calls us to be shining cities upon a hill. For the whole world was made with the word of God, and it continues to shimmer in its divine power. Yes, I know we live at a time where many strive to bury it. Many have covered their souls and their bodies with a litter of evil distractions. We know a young woman who's gone off to Oahu to have some of this evil scribbling removed from her body. But God's pure light cannot be hid. Neither can any school board or technology or federal courthouse extinguish it. The Lord of all abjures you to be this life-giving light and power. And all you need do is nothing at all. Only to call upon the Lord and to be true to him. For he calls you in the night with his holy fire. Receive it, guard it, and keep it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.